Come on down.
As I'm attached to my umbilical cord here. Anyway, 2.5 years ago, I told part of this story. As you all know, I was in a, probably most of you know anyway, and I go to the hospital, an emergency, and doc says, had extreme stomach pain. Doc says, after looking at your x-ray, you got two choices. You can lay here and die, or you can let me take your colon out right now. So that's pretty serious, being told that. But I wasn't afraid. I felt God's presence right there and there. So to make a long story short, I was in ICU for 13 days. As I was sitting on the bed, getting ready to come home, I was all alone, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw something, what the song said, wonderful, beautiful, glorious. It was as a wing and feathers and the most beautiful, beautiful colors and sparkles. I could only say it was my guardian angel. But as I got to thinking about it, it had to be more. God, what was that? I want more of that. I want to see that some more. I waited 2.5 years for an answer. So that's one of those cases where he says, yes, no, or wait. That was one of the waits. Anyway, this month, he gave me an answer. And a word came in my head. Feathers. Huh? Feathers? And then another word came. Concordance. Like, look it up, stupid. So in my Bible, this is not in all Bibles now. It has the word feathers. And it has, let me get it here. Psalms 91. Let me see if I can get through this. It says, now this, I wanted to know what this all meant. And here's those two words, feathers and concordance. Here's what God gave me. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from perilous pestilence. Get this. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. Praise God for letting me get through it anyway. That was an answer to my prayer. 2.5 years I waited, and we're talking about waiting on God right now. He's faithful. He will tell you. Now, this may not mean much to anybody else, but it does me. It's an answered prayer for me. Thank you.
Cheryl Tacanelli is our second preacher. All right. Could you hold this?
Thank you.
Sure. BB, before Bob, I was living in Ohio, and I went on mission trips to the Pine Ridge Reservation. And the first trip out there, I became spirit-filled, and was extremely excited about the supernatural powers of God that I was introduced to. I was married at the time, and we were both saved. And I came home, and my life was totally different. It just seemed like there was a battle going on in my home. It was a battle. The closer I got to God and the more I kept dwelling and going to Bible studies, the darker my house became. I found out afterwards we had porn. There was strip clubs. There was hitting on my girlfriend, and there was an affair with a church secretary. Needless to say, I was totally heartbroken and completely broken, leaned on God with everything I had, and decided I was going to get out of Dodge and start a new life somewhere, and I prayed on it and decided to go where my daughter lived with her family, and we had a brand new granddaughter. Well, before I left and I was packing up to go, I heard God very plainly say, "Forgive them." And I went, "Yeah, right." And I said, "That's just, right. I know I should, but I can't." And a few days went by and I heard, "Forgive them before you leave." And I thought, I can't go to them, I can't talk to them, I can't look at them. How can I possibly do this? And I heard again, "Before you leave, forgive them." I thought, well, Lord, could I write a letter? And that seemed to work. So the first letter was extremely angry, so that got torn up. The second letter was trying to induce guilt, so that got torn up. Then I decided maybe I should get into my Bible and read about forgiveness and try and find a true heart for forgiveness. And the thing that bothered me the most was that I knew that the other parties were going to have a laughing fit over this. They would not understand. And then I thought, but it's not for them. It's for me. I need to get the bitterness and the anger out of my heart, or I will never have the kind of life that I want. And it was so hard. But then I kept telling myself, and God kept telling me, it's for me, not for them. So I wrote a letter, put biblical passages into it, and I felt like the world was lifted off my shoulders. And I thought, I'm going to live. In spite of all that's going on right now, I'm going to live through this. Because God wouldn't give me more than what I can handle. And he's brought me this far. And I shared this testimony on Pied Ridge Reservation. And two girls who had been, about high school girls, had been very angry at each other for a long period of time, got up, forgave each other for whatever reason they were mad at each other, and hugged each other and cried. I cried, and it was awesome. And even now, being married to a 100% Italian person, and I'm got a Scottish streak in me that's wide, things can get really exciting at our house. And I've just learned this lesson that no matter what happens in my life, if I quickly forgive, it just lifts it and just makes it all better. You don't hold it in your heart. It's gone, and you can live on. And the Bible also says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." When you're angry at somebody and you want to get back at them, let me tell you, nobody does it better than God when he lifts his hand of protection off a person that is supposed to be saved and is acting in a very unchristian manner. Let's talk about two heart attacks and financial ruin. I am happily married. I am living here in coastal Georgia, and I am in this church, and I couldn't be more happy or at peace. And that's because God got me here. Thank you.
So thankful for these people that are sharing tonight. I just love to hear other people's stories. And you know, the things that we share with each other, we never know when we'll be going through something and we'll remember something that somebody said. And all of a sudden, we'll just know that they could be a prayer partner for us to get us through our hard times. So thank you for sharing. That's what the body of Christ is all about. Brother Bill, I just love that. The things that the Lord shows us, we don't always understand. And I think there's some things that I've questioned him about, I still don't after many years. And maybe that's because with our brains, we just can't. But he's faithful. Appreciate you sharing, Cheryl. That's wonderful. Christina was going to have a song for us. However, our keyboard lady is not here. And I'm working on Silent Night, but I don't think that was what she planned. So she's going to share something else with us.
Thank you. So how's everybody? Well, we went to camp, and it was a long ordeal, you know, and it was wonderful. And we took Josiah and I. He was amazing. If I ever go again, he's going with me. That's how amazing he was. But anyways, the kids, I'm sure Lily went for the first time. I'm sure she had a great time. And the boys, Cabbage and Scallions, they went. And we just had a great time. The services were really good. And, you know, when y'all think, you know, that I got all this stuff under control. I know it looks like that. I know it looks like that. But you know what? I am scared to death of everything. You know, I'm like, when God called me to the people of disabilities, I was terrified. You know, I was like, I don't know nothing. I know nothing of this, you know? So, you know, for me to go to those camps and to GSOM and be around a bunch of people that I don't know, you know, all that stuff is terrifying to me, you know? So don't think that, you know, I'm on a cloud and I'm just having a great time, because I'm constantly telling myself or talking myself out of not quitting. So, you know, that's how strong things are for me. You know, I wasn't raised, you know, to get out there and do it. You know, the Lord's had to teach me every step of the way. So, you know, for me to be out there doing it, that's all God. You know, it's all of him. But anyways, I wanted to share this verse, because it's just a wonderful verse, and it's in Joshua 1:9, and it says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So you know what? When the devil's trying to tell me junk, like, you know, you don't belong here, right? You know, you shouldn't be here. I mean, I'm like, I have to just tell him that. Leave, you know, and just quiet those voices, because you know what? I could very easily get talked into one and then miss out, you know, miss out on what God has for me. And that would be sad, you know, because it would just be sad. I know God has called me to do great things, just like he's called all of us to do great things for him. You know, it's not to just come and be fed all the time. And I'm not saying that's y'all. I'm just saying. But I've been there, done that, you know, everything. So anyways, I know that God has used everything that I've done in the last 20-something years that I've been here to get me where I'm at now. You know, if I hadn't ever stepped out, you know, for women's ministries and this and that and the other, I'd probably still be stuck in a rut somewhere, you know. And so I know we have to step out. You know, you have to step out and just trust the Lord that he has you and wherever you go, you know. And I like that other verse that Shannon shared, Psalms 32:8. "I will instruct you and guide you with my eye." I'm like, that is awesome. You know, we're never alone. God is always right there. And like she said, she just grabs a hold that pretends like she's holding on to his hand, you know. I'm like, I don't get that visual. I just tell the devil to shut up, you know. But you know what? He is with me. And, you know, I don't get encouragement from my family, like, you know, my brothers and sisters and stuff like that. So, you know what? It's okay because I have all of you guys. And Jesus said that my brothers and my sisters are the ones that, you know, are in the kingdom. So you guys are in the kingdom with me. And I love my brothers and sisters, and I pray they all get to heaven. But you know what? I live with you guys. You know, I come the Sunday and Wednesday and in between times, and you guys are my family. You guys are it. You know, people outside this church that are family to me, that are Christians, they're my family. You guys are like, I'd be crying if y'all died, you know? But you know, I mean, like, it's just different. You know, you guys know what I mean. But anyways, I just love you guys, and you guys are just like in here. You know, if God sent me away from here, it would be a sad day. You know, it would be a sad day. So I got my fingers crossed that if he sends me away, it'll just be for short times. But anyways, I love y'all. And if God ever tells you to do something, just step out and do it. And just watch him show out. He'll show out in ways that you could ever, never imagine. All right, that's all. The brave Jacob is coming.
Okay. I don't know about brave, but... All right. So, I am going to admit, I did not know about this until Pastor Rick talked about it. So, I had to scrounge around looking for... just something that happened a while back. And it got laid on my heart to talk about confirmations, right? So, give me 1 second. All right. So, I was praying to the Lord, asking him about confirmations, right? And it was about speaking to someone. Talking to someone about something I felt, right? And it was, my prayer was, give me utterance, Lord. I need to be able to speak boldly, right? And so then while doing a lesson, prepared for a lesson, and there was Ephesians 6:19, right? And so it's Paul, right? And he's talking to the Ephesians church, and he says, that I might have, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, right? So, how many know that confirmation from the word is the best, right? I did not know that then, I do now, but so, it was good because he told me this. And I was still like, I don't know, is this you, God? And so again, I said, Lord, make it known to me. You know me. You know how to make sure I know that it's you speaking, right? And so I missed it. I was about three confirmations in whenever I got that one. But then he gave me another one, which is in Genesis 24. And it's 13 through 21. Okay, and so Abraham is sending one of his servants to go find a wife for Isaac, okay? And so he says, behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let it be known that a young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will also give you water for your camels to drink. Let her be the one that you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. That's good, right? And so it goes on and he says, and it happened before he had finished speaking that behold, Rebekah, who was born of... Yes. Yeah, born of Bethel, son of I cannot say words today. Sorry, guys. Anyway, Abraham's brother, okay, and came out with her, a pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful and to behold, a virgin. No man had never known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please let me drink a little water from your pitcher." So she said, "Drink, my lord." Then she quickly let down the pitcher from her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking." Then she went quickly, emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all of his camels. And it's cool right here because he says the man, wondering at her, remained silent to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Right, so the exact same thing that he said, right? Lord, whenever you give me drink, let her say that I'll go get water for your camels, right? And so that's exactly the way it happened. And he goes, "Lord, was that you?" Right, so that was me, right? So that was the end of my confirmations. I was like, okay, I get it. I'm sorry, right? So it's good though, right? So whenever the Lord tells you to do something, like Christine said, you do it, right? And if you need those confirmations, right, from the word is the best. And if you don't know, like me, right, there's grace in that where God truly knows our heart. If he's going, I think he's really trying to figure out what I'm trying to tell him. But if he truly knows, he truly doesn't know if it's me or not. So I'll give him another one. So there's grace in that. And that's it.
So how's it going tonight? I was praying the other day, and it's come up a lot about being drawn to the cross. And thinking through that, the image that came to my mind while I was praying was normally when we think about being drawn to something, we think of the desert and being drawn to oasis. But it was the exact opposite, because instead of it being really hot, and try to imagine this because it's summer in Georgia, it was just cold and desolate. And just kind of the opposite. And you're all bundled up and you haven't seen anything for miles and you're walking and you look out in the distance and you see a fire. And you know your mind's not playing tricks on you, because if not for that fire, you wouldn't be able to see anything at all anyway. And you're walking towards it, and there's some things you realize when you get to the fire and there's some things you don't. One thing you don't realize is that the fire doesn't discriminate, and it doesn't care who you are, and it doesn't care what you've done. It warms you, and it draws you to it because it is its nature to warm you, and it's its nature to draw you to it, no matter who you are. And something you do realize is, hey, someone put this here, and you can't quite tell who, but for right now, all you care about is it's warm here. You spend the night there, and you wake up the next day, and you look around and you see tracks in the snow, and suddenly everything becomes, you can meet this person who's just generously left this fire for you and then walked away. Regardless of what you've done and while you're still sinning, dying for you. That grace was given to each of us according to Christ's measure, that now we can know that we were not called to wander in the night, but to walk worthy of the calling we were received, with humility, gentleness, patience, and acceptance. We wake up the next morning and we see the tracks in the snow, and we discover that we can know the person who has left this because he has left a trail for us and he has left signs to follow. We can be full men and our stature measured by God's fullness, no longer as children tossed by waves in every cleverness, cunning, and deceit of mankind, no longer walking as the Gentiles walked in the futility of thought, no longer excluded from life in God, that we're no longer desirous of ever-increasing impurity, that we were renewed in the spirit of our mind. We are now of the day with sober minds, the armor of faith and hope on our chest, that God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will be together with him. Therefore, encouraging one another and building each up, other up as we already have. We can rejoice always. We will pray constantly, giving thanks in everything, for that is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We do not stifle the Spirit. We do not despise prophecies. And we test all things and hold on to what is good, staying away from every evil. We know that who calls us is faithful, and that his plans for us are for our good and not our evil, and that he can give us a future and hope.
Okay. Y'all are short preachers, so I'm going to have to preach longer to make up the time. Not really. Matthew, if you want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Oh, thank you, my dear. Matthew 7, verse 24. Probably this is, if you were in kids' church, sorry, I don't think about holding this. 7:24, you probably sang this little song. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And if you have a Bible that has center reference in over a rock, it probably says the rock, because that's the way, the best way to build our houses on the rock, Jesus, and of course on his word. Let's see. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Same thing happened. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Think about these two houses. They both underwent the same situations. The rains came, the floods descended, the winds blew. The one that was built on the rock, Jesus, didn't fall. And that's like us. If we build our house on the Word of God, our spiritual house won't fall, even though we'll have problems, we'll have trials, we'll have circumstances that come against us, because 1 Peter 4:12 tells us, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened. You know, we look at trials as, oh no, what have I done? How come I have to go through this? But the truth is, this life is a training for reigning. And the end of that verse, after it tells us, think it not strange, it says, rejoice. When the trials come, if we, instead of seeing them as problems, could say, this is an opportunity for me to flex my faith muscles. This is an opportunity, God, for me to build my trust in you. This is an opportunity, instead of murmuring and complaining, how come I have to go through this, instead to say, thank you, Jesus. You know that I can handle this, and that this can be a part of my growing up, so that when I stand before you, I can rule and reign with you. So help us, Jesus, look at our situations like that. But back to this. Think about, if our spiritual house is built on the Word of God, what we've been hearing all this month is to learn to wait on him. To just give that extra time when we have our devotions, rather than read our scriptures, pray, get up and leave, just to sit there in his presence. And he might not say a word, but he's pleased when we just want to be with him. Sometimes when I come to the prayer room, I think, well, Lord, I'm just not sure what I need to pray right now. But sometimes I just put on the music and say, Jesus, I'm here. I am just here to be with you. And I know that I know that he loves that. As much as when my little grandchildren come up and they say, Nana, we just wanted to come see you. What a blessing that is. That's the way the Father is when we just want to spend time with him. So think about these verses and now look back. This chapter, the verse I read, verse 24 starts with a therefore, and we've probably all heard. Anytime you see a therefore, you look and see what it's there for. Well, look back at what Jesus had been saying. He had been preaching the Sermon on the Mount. These 5, 6, and 7, full of the sayings of Jesus. But look at just a few verses ahead of this. Verse 21, the Lord said, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Remember the difference in the foolish and the wise man? They both heard, but only the wise did. But it's not enough for us to just do good things. These scriptures are really wanting us to understand that the good works that we do should flow out of a heart that has waited on him, that's listened to his word, and that's being led of the Holy Spirit of God. Because listen further. These people said to the Lord, well, he said, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not? I lost my place. Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name we've done, they were doing many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. How could it be iniquity when they were doing good things? Because they weren't following what he wanted them to do. It's not enough just to go and do good things. He wants us to do good things because he specifically led us. He says, then, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Years ago, we had a preacher that came and shared a message here. And he said that this new is like the know that a husband and wife know each other. That's the kind of knowing that God wants from us. The kind of knowing that we get to know him by experience. We get to know him through the word. And we get to know him just by being with him. So Jacob's comments about the confirmations, I still ask him for confirmations, and I agree. The best confirmation is the confirmation of the scriptures. But I can also say after walking with him almost 50 years, the truth is when he speaks, I might question a little bit, but the truth is I know when it's God. Maybe I hedge a little because I'm thinking, I'm not sure you're really asking me to do that or to be that or to say that. But the truth is, the more we wait on him, spend time in his presence, we can get to know his voice. And we can know it through him confirming the word to us because we've learned to know the word. So, that's all I had. I just wanted to, as we've been this whole month talking about being dependent on Jesus, to encourage us, just like Pastor Rick's been saying, give that extra 5 minutes in your devotion. If you don't do a thing, but just sit there and say, Lord, I'm here because I want to be with you and I want to hear from you and I want to love on you and he'll enjoy that. But we will too. Because Psalm 16:11, one of my favorite scriptures, says, "In his presence is fullness of joy." And if you connect that scripture to Nehemiah 8:10, it says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." So sometimes when you feel like I'm so tired, I can't go on, just sit in his presence. He strengthens, and he'll bring about that joy in your heart, and that'll strengthen you. He is the answer to this life.